And we thank you for your grace. Lord God, for you have brought us this far by faith. And we trust you. And as we look towards the 40 days of Lent, we pray, Lord God, that you will be with us, guide us, order our steps, direct our path, God, as we seek to draw closer to you. In Christ's name, amen. And today my sermon title is on the ministry of reconciliation, and looking more at the Corinthian text, 2 Corinthian text. And as you can see from the picture, it says, and this comes from 2 Corinthian, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And as you can see on that picture, there are people, pictures of human beings walking towards the cross as we're seeking reconciliation, as we ought to seek reconciliation. And now as I began, I'd like to read this story, a reflection, and it says, why to seek the loss? Why to seek the loss? And the writer says, on July 4th, 1854, Charlie Peace, a well-known criminal in London, was hung. The Anglican Church, which had a ceremony for everything, he even had a ceremony for hanging people. And so when Charlie Peace was marched to the gallows, a priest read these words from the prayer book. Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is a pain of forever dying without the release which death itself can bring. When these chilling words were read, Charlie Peace stopped in his tracks. He turned to the priest and shouted in his face, "Do you believe that? Do you believe that?" And the priest, taken aback by his verbal assault, stammered for a moment and then said, "Well, I suppose I do." "Well, I don't," said Charlie. "But if I did, I'd get down on my hands and knees and crawl over Great Britain, even if it were paved with pieces of broken glass, if I could rescue one person from what you just told me." So this man was going to the gallows. He went, he died, and the priest stammered. He himself was doubting at that moment. And Charlie says, "If I believe that," he says, "but if I did, I would get down on my hands and knees, crawl over Great Britain, even if it were paved with pieces of broken glass, if I could rescue one person from what you just told me." Isn't that amazing? And that's why we too are part of the Ministry of Reconciliation. We too are part of that, if we are believers in Jesus Christ. And on the next slide, I'm showing you on the next slide a different picture, which shows us the problem, right? The problem. And it is it says man's problem is sin, meaning mankind. Doesn't mean man is a, right? Humankind, really, is sin. Sin's penalty is death, and eternal life is on the other side of that chasm, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ that reconciles us and takes us from eternal death. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the question is, as we go to the next slide, the question is, what caused the separation? What caused that separation? What could have caused it that here we are in this state? Humanity would be in this state because the separation was caused. It was not intended to be that way at the beginning. And we know the story, don't we? Friends, I could tell you a story. the story that is in the book of Genesis, the story that some believe and some don't believe. And that story begins with Adam and Eve, right? We know the story, and that's what caused the separation of humanity from God, from that perfect relationship in the Garden of Eden. There are many people who don't believe it, but for those of us who believe it, we believe it to be the Word of God. It is called the fall of humanity. And we know the story well, right? The story goes like this. There was a man and woman in the Garden of Eden, and they were in this perfect harmony with God, right? Until the devil, Satan, showed up and tempted, the text tells us, I think that Satan tempted both of them, but the text tells us that the woman was tempted first to eat that fruit, that the forbidden fruit, and then she took it to the man. He could have said no, but he had it too, and sin came into the world. We call that the original sin. And God would chase them out of the Garden of Eden, right, and send them away. But Scripture tells us when God sent them out of the Garden of Eden, God went with them. Because God had the final remedy to what? To reconcile man to woman, man and woman to God. And the final remedy was reconciliation. Reconciliation in Christian theology is an element of salvation that refers to the results of atonement, right? That we were reconciled through the atonement, and Jesus Christ would shed that atoning blood. Reconciliation is the end of the estrangement caused by original sin between God and humanity. Reconciliation really occurs without sacrifice. Oftentimes when there's reconciliation, someone is giving up something. Even in human reconciliation, someone is giving up something, friends. And by giving his one and only son, God took the initiative in healing our broken relationship with him. And that's why tonight we have come here, right? As Jesus would begin that journey, his first 40 days in the wilderness, God would give his only son to reconcile us back to him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that God, the next slide, he's following me along. Isn't it amazing that God made the supreme sacrifice for us, that we might be reconciled to him? That God must have loved us so much and still loves us. As John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that God would give his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So God would take it on. Reconciliation is made possible by the will of God. God's will to save us. God's desire to save us. I always wonder that God desires that relationship with his creation, with us. That God would, when you think of a child, giving up your child, we all of us who are parents, right? Giving up your loved ones, right? Whether you're a parent or not. But when you think of that, you must realize or just be amazed of the great, awesome love God has for us. Amen? That God would give us that imagery of giving up his son and to reconcile us back, to close that chasm that was so wide that we would never get back to God without that. Reconciliation is made possible by an act of forgiveness. You see, we have to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness so that we can be reconciled with him. When we're sinned against God, we have to go back, go to God, seek forgiveness so that we are then brought back into right relationship with God. Reconciliation is made possible by the obedience of faith. That first we have to believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior by faith and be obedient to him by faith. Reconciliation is made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's how important Christ is to us, because he had to sacrifice for us so that we could be reconciled back to God. And so that's what Paul is telling the Corinthian church, right? That we were in sin. They were in sin. He was in sin. But if Christ did not die for us, we would not have the opportunity to be in heaven. As simple as that. And today when I was reading the text from Luke, it's not for tonight, but the Luke text on Jesus being in the desert. And I thought of all the temptation he went through, and he rejected it just because he knew that he had a job to do and that he was the final answer for the reconciliation of humanity. He was the final answer. And each time Satan, the devil, seeked to distract him, he could not, because Jesus knew there would be no hope for humanity. I know people are not Christian, they don't understand our faith, you see. They can't, they have to, it is something by faith that we believe. We believe by faith that God sent Jesus Christ. And on this tonight, on this Ash Wednesday, as we look at this 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible tells us that he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And at the end of 40 days, he was hungry. And that the devil came then when he was hungry to tempt him. But he would stand all the temptation. And so, friends, reconciliation is so important. Because as we look at this other slide, we'll see Jesus Christ, his body stretched from one end to the other. That is the only way we're going to cross that divide. We cannot cross it by ourselves. No matter what we think, what we're going to do, how much we make, we go to the best schools, how good looking we are, and Lord knows we all are good looking in here tonight. I could only see your eyes. But no matter what, none of that matters unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. None of that matters unless we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And remember now, the reconciliation has been completed. When Christ was on the cross, he said, it is finished. We're not at the end yet, so we don't want to preach resurrection. We don't want to preach the crucifixion. But he said it was finished. He completed the task so that we could be reconciled to him, to God. And what a blessing that is. That now when we go through this Lenten season, friends, as we go and we meditate and we pray and we think, we're not doing this alone. Because the one who has done it best, Jesus Christ, has already done it. And he will carry us through. And so many folks don't cross from one side of the chasm to the other because, guess what? They don't believe. Some of us get stuck in the middle. We get stuck halfway, right? We get halfway and then the things of the world, right, comes and start tempting us and telling us. And then we turn back or we don't go. But oh, thanks be to God we serve a Savior who is loving and kind And we just have to step out one way and he reaches out his hands to us. Our Savior. The ministry of reconciliation, we also have a responsibility, for we are called ambassadors. That means we must tell someone else about Jesus so they too can be reconciled to him. What does an ambassador do? Ambassador does good things for their country. You hear about the ambassador from the Ukraine, ambassador from so-and-so. They are doing good things for their country. An ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ then spread good things about Jesus to everyone that they meet. So Paul tells the Corinthian church, you are ambassadors. You have been reconciled, and now you are ambassadors of the reconciliation. Every single one of us here who believes is an ambassador of the reconciliation. And we must serve the Lord, not only for ourselves, but for others, so others can know about Christ. And then Jesus tells us in that text, he tells us what to do during Lent, didn't he? He talked about almsgiving. He says, number one, we should what? We should give. Right? We should give. We should pray. And he doesn't say what we should give, how we should give. This season of meditation and reflection, it should be a season wherein our hearts are open, right, to the goodness of God. Maybe someone just needs someone to talk to them, and we could give of ourselves to that person. Maybe we could call somebody up that we know have been struggling and say, how are you doing? You know, what can I do for you? Give of ourselves and give of whatever we have during this season. Right? I don't mean just give to our church, which is important, but there are a lot of folks sometimes in our own home and in our own family who needs someone to talk to. Someone to tell them that Jesus loves them. Sometimes we have friends that are going through, and we know it, and we don't do anything about it. But this is a time during this Lenten season to get out of our comfort zone and find someone who is in need. And he tells us also that we should pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. And we don't have to pray so everybody could see us. He says we don't have to pray that everybody's. We should go into our closets, right? In our prayer closet and pray. Pray for those who are in need. Pray for ourselves. Pray for our own family, right? Pray for our nation. Pray for the leaders of our nation. And you don't have to love them to pray for them. My God, do I find it difficult to pray for Putin? And Lord knows I want to say all kinds of stuff, but I know that I have to pray for him. Pray that God will change his heart and change all the leaders of the world's heart. You know, pray, find it to pray. And seek God. And then he says we should fast. Now, we all have different kind of fast. Some people can fast a whole meal. Some people can fast and give up, you know, certain foods and for the 40 days, different ways. But we can fast from watching television. How about that? Fast from social media. How about that? But if you're going to fast from that and we're going to get mean, don't fast. Because that's what he says. He says, when you fast, put oil on your face and look happy. Don't fast and get mean. I've been there. I fasted from something and then I was getting so upset with whatever I fasted from that I finally said, I better just eat that food because I'm not a happy faster. Right? But we can fast. So, and when we fast, we draw close to God through prayer and through reflection. And Jesus says at the end, he says, beware of practicing at the beginning. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when we're doing things that are, you know, that we believe is of the Lord, everybody doesn't have to see. Everybody doesn't have to know that we're fasting, that we're praying, and that we're giving. No. We do it in love. And we do it in secret. So friends, on this Ash Wednesday, I wish you a holy fast, a holy Lent, a holy time of prayer, so that when we come out on the other side, on Resurrection Sunday, by God's grace, we would have felt that the journey was worthwhile. Amen. That the journey was worthwhile. Right? Because if we don't feel as if the journey was worthwhile, then we've wasted our time, haven't we? So let it be worthwhile for you. And I am seeking to do the same thing. Amen. And now, friends, the invitation of the observance of a Lenten fast. I put it up here, yes. And so I will read it as you listen, and then there'll be a time for you to silently pray. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when the persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and the forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. In this way, the whole congregation, I'm reading it twice, am I? Yes. So now I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. To make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer. Will you take the moment now to bow before God as you reflect on the Lord? And now we'll have thanksgiving over the ashes. Give God thanks and praise for all God has done. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, we're going to be getting ready, and you will remember that you're dust, and to dust you will return. Amen.